The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has approved the use of millions of gallons of water contaminated with toxic fracking waste to be used as drinking water for wildlife and livestock. The approval came to light last week when the EPA posted new water discharge permits for about a dozen oil fields on or adjacent to the Wind River Reservation in Wyoming.
This has been going on in some form for the last decade.
Jeff Rook is Executive Director of Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, or PEER.
And it's not just going on in Wyoming, it may be going on throughout the entire West.
And this is fracking waste that has not been analyzed by the EPA for the content of the water, what pollutants have been added.
Correct. I mean, to add insult to injury, for these proposed permits that just went online, EPA didn't even list the chemicals. In only one of the permits do they even mention, in addition to the fracking fluids, the maintenance chemicals that are flushed even more regularly down the shaft than the fracking fluids. And those contain a wealth of problems as well.
How is this water discharged into the environment?
It's pumped from underground. It's called produced water. And this is actually an exception to the Clean Water Act that was made back in 1979 when Western states said we're so arid that the water from underground, which can't be surface discharged to the east, we need for mainly for livestock. And so for the last 30 or so years in the West, the underground water from drilling oil and natural gas is pumped up onto the ground and eventually flows into streams, rivers, lakes, reservoirs. What's changed in the last decade has been the advent of fracking with fairly potent chemicals that are introduced downhole, as it were, and are included within the produced waters, and EPA hasn't adjusted its interpretation of the law or the regulation to take this into account. And they've, in essence, been pretending that the fracking fluids don't exist.
The fracking fluids are still covered under these trade secret proprietary rules that they don't have to disclose what's in the fluids that they discharge, or the fluids that they put into the ground, at least?
Well, no and yes. No in the sense that they're not required to disclose what they put underground, but yes, once it's discharged under the surface, EPA rules require that anything be discharged be disclosed and also determine whether or not there ought to be a limit as to how much and what potency should be put out there. It's a form of water pollution, and EPA is required to, in essence, account for it. And what we're pointing out is that their permits don't, and that this is a fairly wide-standing practice.
Has there been any analysis of this water to find out what's in it?
Well, there have been analyses done by scientists, and so depending upon the type of configuration, I think they've identified more than 600 different chemicals that have been used at one time or another, and one of the latest studies suggests that about 75% of them affect sensory organs and respiratory and gastrointestinal systems, and more than a third of them are linked to hormonal damage, cancer, or mutations. There was just a study published recently that involved looking at livestock that were exposed to fracking waters, because sometimes the fracking water, which is held in lagoons or holding ponds, the retainer wall breaks and they end up in streams and ponds. In one case in Louisiana, 17 cows died an hour after they drank spilled fracking fluid. In one case in Pennsylvania, 140 cattle exposed to fracking fluid. Within 3 days, 70 of them died. The remainder of the 70 only produced 11 calves, only three of which survived. In another part of Pennsylvania, an overflowing waste pit that put fracking fluid into a pasture where pregnant cows grazed, half of them died within 4 days. So as we've been pointing out, that there's a lot of controversy about fracking fluids, but one point of agreement should be it's not a good idea to drink it.
So there's overwhelming evidence that this is hazardous waste. It should not be disposed of in any manner that comes into contact with anything that's living, basically.
Yes, and we think it's outrageous that EPA would reissue these permits without even mentioning these components, and we're preparing an overall rulemaking petition to ask EPA nationally to stop this practice throughout the West.
Now, there is a distinction between East and West in this case.
West of the 98th meridian, which if you look at a map, basically bisects the continental U.S., right through the middle of Texas, the Dakotas, Nebraska,
So what about the East? Does any of this affect the eastern United States?
No. Surface discharge is prohibited, though occasionally it happens because the waste pits or the lagoons break and the discharge takes place. But surface discharge is not supposed to happen in the eastern U.S.
But there is the chance for accidental discharge, so knowing what's in this water would be in the public interest.
Sure. Knowing what's in the water would be in the public interest, and also making sure that in places where it's being basically dumped onto the ground, that it's strictly monitored. And in the case of wildlife and livestock, not only are they protected, but also this water doesn't just stay there. It flows into rivers and lakes and ends up eventually in drinking water supply. So some portion of it eventually reaches our coffee cups if we're west of the 98th meridian.
What would it take to clean up this water before it's discharged into the environment?
Boy, that's a tough one because in many instances, the treatment systems for these chemicals don't exist. And growing contamination of water with exotic chemicals, even from everyday products like pharmaceuticals and cosmetics and personal care products, is increasingly becoming a problem because there's no way to treat them once they enter the water supply.
Even if the contents of fracking water are eventually public, it's not going to be an easy task to regulate this, considering the industry resistance. What will it take, or how long could this fight go on?
Well, I think eventually, if the chemicals are disclosed, it may end up in court because the Clean Water Act hasn't been repealed, and it requires EPA to make sure that pollutants aren't discharged in any harmful levels into our waters. And so it will be a matter of seeing them in court. But right now, we're taking the baby steps of making sure these chemicals are reflected and accounted for in the permits that EPA is issuing. And what's unusual about this is that for most of the West, EPA isn't in the job of issuing permits. That's done by states that have delegated programs that are overseen by EPA, and we have a separate investigation of how the states are handling fracking fluids with respect to this produced water exception. We focused on the Wind River Reservation because EPA has direct jurisdiction on tribal lands, and so this is an instance where EPA itself has to step up to the batter's box and write these permits. Ironically, there's stronger provisions that aren't complete for disclosure of fracking fluids in the state of Wyoming, and so you have this anomalous situation where these permits would arguably have been stronger if they were issued by the state of Wyoming than they would be by the United States Environmental Protection Agency. And if anything, the opposite should be true.
Jeff Rook is Executive Director of Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, based in Washington, D.C.